Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tabletop Radio Hour, your podcast for everything tabletop. My name is Zach, and this week I'm joined by the regular crew. I'm joined by Mark. Mark, how are you today?
I am still recovering from the last episode. How are you doing, Logan?
Slaps will do that, you know, I'm just saying. You know?
It's true. It's true. The jaw just...
I'm doing good with my, you can't see it on the screen, wicked GM smirk. Zoe, how you feeling, Zoe?
I'm feeling great. Awesome. Man, what a session. Zach?
Yup. That's about it. Oh, man. It was an interesting session last session, but Logan... What are you gonna do this time, huh? What are you gonna do? Logan, you're running us through some more 7th C here in Myths and Legacies. So, just take it away. We're all on the edge of the seat. You got us. You got us last session. So keep it going.
At this time, we fade in on the manor of the King of Tirion on a hill overlooking the city itself. We follow a winding, low perspective, like maybe a small creature scurrying through grass, like a mouse in a field. And we rush past a heat-scorched lily bent over, orange petals drooping, but still standing strong. And from that, the camera focuses on the flower, and then the foreground fuzzes and the background highlights. And we see behind, through the smoke, through the burnt foliage, Andreas standing there talking with a king. A king in fine clothes and a crown on his head. Though golden in look, there are some soot stains on the crown itself. And there is a weariness and a heaviness to the king's eyes. Andreas, you are standing before the king. You had just greeted him, and you are talking with the man, and he says thank you. He basically, you know, thanked you for rushing in here, but seems very lost at looking at what has become of his home.
Yes, Your Majesty, I apologize that we could not do more. Of course, our services are at your disposal.
Thank you, son. Thank you. And remind me of your name again.
Andreas Tirion.
Yes, Theonis Cleos, you said that. Yes. Oh, it is a loss. I don't know what is coming next. I cannot believe that our gods have done this. But how else would we see it? Look around. Floods. Lava. Earthquake. This. What have we done?
Your Majesty, we are Numa. The buildings, those can be rebuilt. Together, we can rebuild. Numa is still strong.
I admire your fervor, young man.
We will rectify this, I promise you.
Walk with me a minute.
Of course.
And he nods a direction kind of away from... Actually, I think he nods towards the manor. And his guards stay back. But of course, you know, both groups have their eyes on you two. And you get, you know, maybe 20 feet away before he starts talking. His attention is still very much on the manor.
Sure.
But he says to you, buildings can be rebuilt, but I am afraid that it will be some time before we can get on our feet again. We are not in a good state here. You have a ship still, yes?
I do.
Good. We are losing more men, able-bodied and otherwise. The defense of this island is in question, and I fear we have the vultures coming in from all sides. I can count on you, yes?
Of course, Your Majesty. I am eager to do whatever I can to help protect Numa.
What can you tell me about this? Do you know more than I see here?
We encountered a woman in Five Sails who seems to have grown in power. She was involved in a relatively local criminal organization, but nothing to this level. I am uncertain where she has gathered this power or what her motivation is for coming here. We will not cease to investigate. How long have these attacks been going on, if I may ask?
Well, some months now. How long have you been gone? What brought you to Five Sails?
Searching out clues to some of the Vodachi that have been plaguing us. I had been searching for my mother. We've been gathering information on Numan enemies. I had no idea we would find another of this magnitude.
Nor I. I have been looking south from recent raids from the Empires of the Crescent. They're getting stronger, and our brothers to the lower islands are not helping.
Yes, I understand.
Was this enemy in Five Sails also Vodache?
Sorry, Annika, I think she was, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Vodache district.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yes, she was also Vodache. Goes by the name of Victoria.
Why did you leave? Were you in Oran? Was there something happening in town? Or did you leave peaceably?
There were the beginnings of some insurrection. It did not seem to involve Numan interest. So we got out of the way in order to go back to pursuing other endeavors.
He seems to nod. You guys talk a little bit more as you round around the outside of the manor. You've walked for a little bit and you've kind of seen around it, and you are approaching Sophia, who's helping someone else and setting them down, and she stands up and turns around to go work on something else and sees him and bows. The king says, "Have you met one of my favorite vassals? Sophia, one of my most fearsome warriors."
"I am indeed familiar with Sophia."
There's a audible glare from Sophia.
Yeah. Give her a little nod without breaking eye contact.
Okay. Well,
Sophia and I go back to a time before I left Numa.
Ah, my apologies then. I will reconvene with my guards and survey. Thank you for your help. And he basically like excuses himself from you.
I will bow as he leaves and turn back to Sophia. Kind of rub my cheek a little bit and say, "So you feel better now? Are you satisfied with the expression you have made?"
She kind of shrugs. "Are you satisfied with the news you are not sure about?" And just for your own, I remember something in the episode Zach was running about the statement you had said to her. "Are the rumors true?"
Yeah.
Which is what she's making a nod towards.
Yes.
Le oof.
"I was hoping you would voluntarily expand on any information that might be pertinent to me, things that I might be interested in knowing, for example.
Well, what would you be interested in knowing? Our daughter Corina is doing well. She is healthy.
Corina, and you did not send word that Corina existed?
Word got to you.
Yes. And am I going to be able to meet her?
Do you think that wise? We were separated for a reason.
Yes, I am quite aware of the Amazon tendency to use men for their breeding stock and then leave them aside.
There's a flushed look on her face. That it's like conflict you see in her, where she's feeling the pain that you have, but also that not sure how to respond to you because it's, well, that's what we do. That's our culture, sort of thing.
Right.
So it's like a sorry you're hurt, but you knew what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks and she says, well, it's we knew it would not be something that could last, correct? You can meet her. If you would like. I do not know how the queen will feel about these things, but she seems to be opening her eyes a little bit. Past tradition.
Yes, I would like to meet my daughter.
Well, stay around for a little longer this time and you will.
Oh, fuck, I can't hold it anymore. Holy shit! I love her so much! Oh, fuck. Oh. Oh, shit.
And with that, you both she turns away to, like, I don't know, move something, grab a bucket. Helping with fire things and disaster recovery. I think we can pan from there to Briggs. You are still in this area. And what are you doing?
I'm probably just shadowing Captain.
Okay.
At this point in time.
So you saw the whole exchange with him and the king, followed by the exchange with him and Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the guards that were around the king have also kept their eye on you as well, unless you were keeping a good distance and could not hear what was being said.
I mean, I'll act like I'm, you know, with the captain, waiting for him to finish his business.
Sure.
You know, then we'll continue on with her, with our business, you know, whatever.
Okay. The captain had told you to take care of things here, but he seems a little distracted now after the Sophia situation. It looked like he was going to go somewhere or do something, but he hasn't left yet.
Is he just standing there? Is he talking with anybody still?
I think at that point when she kind of turns back and goes to work, I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to dive in and start helping as well.
Okay.
You know, she's doing whatever busy work I can find to be helping.
Sure.
Ah, oh, damn it. You're right. I guess I'm going to throw myself into work.
Yes.
Not acknowledge this at all.
That's right.
Captain.
Yes. What?
Whoa.
I'm going to have to mute myself. Jesus.
No, you're not. That's why it's an actual play. It's hilarious.
This is so juicy.
Yeah.
I get some popcorn. Damn.
Shite. All right. I was just going to say, what's the plan? Back to the ship, or are we staying here?
Fix things! Fix! Get the man!
Captain obviously seems quite frustrated.
I am not frustrated, Mr. Briggs.
Suit yourself, sir. What would you like me to do?
Assist the guards until they have the situation here normal, and then meet me back at the ship.
Fine. That's all I asked.
With that, I will turn and head back to the ship.
Ooh. Briggs will stay and assist.
You good, Briggs? Do you need some ice?
Yeah, serious, though.
Might need a little bit.
You want a hug? Damn.
Yeah, Briggs will just, like, have a small chat with Ori on the side. Just to comfort himself, to calm himself down.
Ori.
Yeah, I know, but, you know. It's okay. It's fine.
Points.
What's up? What's that?
Just, he's just pointing at things that are going on, trying to distract you. Oh,
cool. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Right. Back to work. Yes. Yeah. Back to work. Yep. And I'm fine.
He scrabbles over and, like, grabs a little thimble and's helping and, you know, being a monkey. We follow Andreas storming down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Any internal monologue you want to share with the camera, or do we just see you angry until you get towards the ship and run into...
I think he's just kind of mumbling incoherently, and Newman, he's just focused on, you know, he's trying to kind of piece together, you know, things that have to be done and not really making much sense because that's not really what he's thinking, but
right,
he's just, you know,
have to batten down the water to put out the fire and, you know, what?
Yeah, well, basically he's going back to the comfort of his ship.
Yeah,
that's where he's in control, that's where he's in charge, that's where he gets the bonus die for action, so that's...
That's where I get the modifiers that help me.
Yeah. So that's basically what he's doing at the moment.
Okay, perfect. So we see you storming on down. The sun is getting close to rising. We can see just the glimmers of early dawn, as there's a lot that's happened in this night over multiple episodes of the show. Yes. And we see, as you get closer, the glimmers of sun across the sea and that fresh morning feel. Mixed with the smells of soot and burning rope and burning wood planks and canvas. And we see Electa there, of course, on Epos. I'm looking a little dazed, but she has herself, if you want to have yourself together. You're there?
She's looking a little haunted, to be completely honest.
So I assume Andreas is going to be walking past Electo.
Yeah, I don't think Electo even knows that you're there at this moment.
Okay. Yeah, Andreas will probably just try and storm past and maybe just kind of shoot her a dirty look and then kind of keep walking and realize she didn't say anything snide. And
just very unlike her.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. I didn't get a snide comment at the back of my head. What's going on?
Right. Which may cause him to kind of stop and look over his shoulder. And
Electo still has the blood on her hands from stabbing Vittoria. I imagine there's probably like a blood spurt. Just like splashed up on her face.
You hit an artery.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. She's just covered in blood.
She should have been dead.
She should have been dead.
You think she's dead, probably, except for
you're
haunted by.
I hope to God she's dead. I hit a very vital spot. So, yeah, it's not just a blood splatter. There's like caked blood all over her face, all over her hands. You can see as the sun is rising, it's just like. This, even though she's wearing a black cloak, there's like the slight discoloration of there was liquid there at one point in time, but has dried, sort of. And she's just standing on Epos, clutching the reins with white knuckles. And Epos looks irritated. He's, you know, flaring his nostrils. His ears are pricking back and forth. His eyes are darting and looking around for potential threats or. Maybe figs, who knows? And his tail is swatting back and forth, and he's stamping his hooves. He He looks like he's just coming off of the adrenaline of a battle, as indicative of war horses. And so he's still like ready to fight, but like the fight's over. And so he's just like calming down in the way that he calms down. And Alecto is staring into nowhere, really. She's facing out to the ocean and the ship, but she's not looking at anything.
Andreas will take a couple of steps back and kind of follow her gaze out to the ocean to realize she's not really looking at anything. Look back at her. What are you doing here? Are you okay? Kind of raises his eyebrows a little bit.
I don't know how I got here.
Huh. I see.
Well, where am I?
You can thank me for that.
You are on your horse at the docks. You don't know why you're here?
No. And then her eyebrows rise and you watch her pupils dilate and she clenches down on the reins again. Where is that man? Your friend there with the swords. Is he all right?
Mr. Raza? Yes. Yes, he is. I'm going to turn and look at the ship and see if I can see anybody on deck.
Yeah. I mean, half the crew's there at least. You know, the other half is up with... Briggs.
Is Raza on deck?
You send him to go see a doctor, which is the ship's doctor?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's probably sitting on like some crates off to the side. Let's say he got roped into helping out the doctor with people who have worse burns and stuff. He was just, you know, had a head knocked out of him.
If he's in sight, I'll point him out and say, he is right there. He is on my ship.
She locks eyes and looks at him and there's a darting flash of looking for burns or any kind of like really egregious wounds. And once she realizes that he's fine, there's a small sigh that escapes her. And she looks down at her hands, notices that there's blood on them, and then reaches up and touches, you know, just a preliminary, oh, am I bleeding and just not knowing it? Shit. Kind of. And then she takes a deeper sigh, and as the sun is coming up, she turns Ebos so that her back is to the sun, and she, you know, brings up her hood a little more. She covers any exposed skin from the sun, and looks down at you and says, I'm glad he is all right, and I'm glad your ship is fine, and your crew seems to be fine. That's great.
Thank you. Are you fine?
I'm going to say with that question, there's a memory back and you're getting flashes of what you just went through with the flame thing and stabbing this person. And I just want there's a flash of I wasn't burned. And whether that's a realization that you aren't injured from that, or if it's a realization of like you were in grass that wasn't burned when you got picked up. Or what? I'll let you take that angle, but I want that realization to happen for Alecto real quick. And to have her wonder why.
I was not incinerated. There is no burn on me at all. I am fine.
Good?
Yeah, she doesn't sound convinced.
Yeah.
The other side of that coin is, I'm invincible.
No, she does not want to be invincible. She's very human in this moment.
Do you wish to see Mr. Raza? Were you involved in something together? I'm not sure what you need.
She nods slowly to herself as if like, yes, no, that sounds good. And then finally looks at you and you remember that kind of determination of hers again. It's just faint, but she does look at you and say, Yes. I would like to speak with Raza, if that is all right.
Yeah, that is fine. Wait here, and I'll kind of go down, take a few steps towards the ship, and
you get Mr. Raza. You get two steps and start to say, "Mr. Raza," as Dugald steps forward.
Sir, we've got some problems here on the ship. Would you like to look at it?
Aye.
God, Dugald.
Great. Come with me this way, sir.
And starts to like steer you up a gangplank. And is like shouting at the main mast and talking about this, and shouting over at the, you know, mizzen mast and talking about other things here. And you kind of start getting the breakdown from the quartermaster of most of your main sails are fucked.
Great.
They've resupported the stay rigging. There's going to be probably about half the planks on the ship are going to have to be replaced. Any of the goods you had for supplies, for food, for rations, that's gone. They had to use all the water. He's expecting, you know, if things are good and they can find supplies, about a month refit.
Okay. While he's, since I can't be heard over him, obviously,
no.
I'm going to try and wave to get Raz's attention and kind of pantomime pointing up to Electo and kind of motioning. Go help her type thing while I continue getting the report.
And he looks to you, like jumps up like he's going to go run to you, reads your hands, and then like taps the doctor on the shoulder and says something and then runs over towards where Electo is at. And the doctor kind of trails behind maybe 10 steps or so. And we see Raza come up. His turban is kind of mussed and shoved about. But otherwise, he seems to be mostly together, and he comes up. Ah, fair lady, you are injured? Do you need the doctor? Come, doctor!
She slides down off of Vipos. As I look at my character sheet, I do actually have a dramatic wound. And I'm like one shy away from my second. So I would say that she is... She was like tapping herself to see if she had been like punctured or anything like that. It doesn't really dawn on her until she moves to get off the horse that she might have a cracked rib. Ooh. From leaping on top of a person from a moving horse. So she winces and tries really hard to hide it, but she's really hard at hiding anything lately.
Okay. We see a short man with small round glasses come up, and Raza introduces him as Dr. Szymanski, Henrik Szymanski. He seems to be in decent clothes, but with a smock on, some sort of like apron covering most of those. And the thing that sticks out is his pants seem uniquely baggy. His boots are of a nice supple leather. And you get the feeling that he is from the eastern side of Thea. Come, let me see you. And kind of pulls your hands together and looks at you and checks you over and whatnot and starts bandaging and doing the doctor thing. You can wipe away all those flesh wounds.
Yeah.
And I have no idea to determine how he's going to do for the dramatic wounds. So probably that too. Seems to make sense.
I think she's off the horse and
I think you...
Ipos goes and wanders off.
There's a moment when you get off the horse where Ipos and Raza share a disagreeable look between each other.
I love that. Ipos goes off to eat some grass or something.
Figs.
Near the dock.
It's always figs.
It's always figs.
And she's standing there with Raza as the doctor finishes up and probably tells her to, you know, rest and don't ride a horse right now and everything's going to be fine. And she's just like, yeah, I definitely won't ride my only transportation ever and my best friend throughout the rest of today. So, and she looks at Raza and says, you look like you came out all right. You burned it all.
No, I was not burned at all. I do not understand as to why, and I have questions for you.
The questions for me. Very well. Do you mind if I sit?
We will talk tomorrow. Come for coffee. Have you had the coffee? It is a taste of home for me.
Where is Rasa from, real quick?
He is Sarmian. So, not okay. Palestine, Israel area of okay. of the Crescent Empire.
I would love coffee. I have not had it in many years.
Very good.
Yes.
In the morning. Rest well.
And he kind of takes a bow and shuffles off to, like, let you recover a little bit. You can, of course, flag him down if you want to push that issue, but he seems to try and give you a little space.
I think what happens is we see another quick little flashback of something in her past, not just recently with this whole flame sure. thing, but we see as the sun is kind of coming up over the ship and blinding her just briefly, we get a quick flash of not a sea of water, but a sea of black sand. And we can see these intense vapor waves of even hotter than the land that she just left, like the scorched earth from the manor. Just this intensity and this overwhelming like feeling of being alone. And then she says, wait.
He stops. He turns.
I need to know more about that woman. You seem to have a lot of anger for her. She's someone from your past.
Recent past. Not much of a long history, but she is most troublesome.
So she is an enemy of yours.
She is an enemy of the Capitan. And if the Capitan has an enemy, she is my enemy.
Do you know anything else about her?
Well, I'll be honest, the last time she was not throwing fire from her fingertips. That is anew.
So this is a recent development.
I fear so.
Was she part of something or working on her own? Tell me everything you know, please.
Well, come. We must work on this.
And he kind of, you know, gestures back to the ship and waits for you to come along to see if you're going to step on the ship.
Okay. Yep. No, she, so she walks across the docks and goes right to the planks and then pauses, looks down at the gangplank. Looks back up at the ship.
He walks up it backwards, and it, you know, it wobbles and wiggles a little bit, but he seems to act like it's totally fine. Come. It is perfectly safe now. There is no fires.
It is not the fire I am worried about.
And he jumps up and down on the plank, which kind of wobbles the pier and the boat and everything.
She shudders.
It is perfectly fine.
I am trusting you on this.
Come, come. And he, like, leans forward, bit of a lunge step forward, and puts a hand out as to help you and guide you.
Okay, great. That's way better than trying to do this by myself. She takes his hand and holds it rather tightly as she walks up the gang.
Use this hand in the future. Okay, yep, yep, right up on here. Okay, there you, yes, you can, yep. Okay, just hold on to it. That's fine. I guess I don't need this
and
hand.
And I think as soon as she gets up on deck and can hold on to a railing or something, like she lets go of his hand and just puts her hand on the railing. But if anybody's paying really close attention, she's gripping it with like a death grip.
And for anybody who has some form of sea legs or is used to it, I mean, there's a sway to the boat, but you wouldn't notice it. For Electo, it's constantly moving.
Oh, God, why isn't it? This is not like a horse at all.
How do I post on this thing?
Where do I put my feet? How do I balance my hips? Oh, God. Okay. So she... She looks like a baby fawn, like trying really hard to walk across the deck to wherever Raza is leading her. And she doesn't give a damn who's looking at her right now because she's super focused on just not eating shit right now.
I think he kind of guides you over and like is working with some sort of rigging or knot or whatever else knot, and basically like uses that to distract you while he's tying something off, and you're like, here, hold this for me, or you know, put your finger right here, or whatever else knot. And just kind of goes in to explain the conflict that was run into with the Red Hand Gang, was it, in Five Sails, that we were there searching something out. Some local toughs threatened a local innkeep, and we got pulled into a job to help track down this gang, and we found it was connected to a family. The person who hired us to track them down was also part of that family, but basically separating herself from them, and it was her sister that we fought in the end, and Raza goes to explain that in that end, there was a collapsing building that the captain had saved him from. We had left soon after, as that seemed to be the start of some sort of coup or power upset in the city where the governance of the city was being decided, and a little more aggressively than most elections should have.
Raza tells you to go listen to episodes 1 through 5 of this podcast.
I actually did go listen to those episodes.
No,
I am
establishing
up.
It for.
No, I know. It was just I found the opportunity to
perfect
say that.
Opportunity.
I took it.
And for more information on the conflict of Five Sails, play the card game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also that. I think after a little while of hearing the story and being distracted enough not to focus entirely on her balance, but to focus on the story that he's telling and these little small distractions that Raza is doing, which she is very grateful for. After a while, she says, Andreas saved you from a burning building, or a falling building.
Correct.
And these others here. And she kind of looks around at the crew.
They're a bunch of dogs. He says in a loud way, as if to, like, get people to snap the fuck back to work, because they're probably all listening in or whatever else not.
Oh, of course. Of course.
But they're good dogs. I will keep them in line. Briggs, he's new. Sort of. But an old hand at the sea.
And if you were to sum up Andreas in one word, what would you give me?
He thinks for a second. Head goes down. He looks up. Loyal. There is a fervor to him that I do not understand. I have a problem with this land and the people in it having attacked my land, having burned my capital city to a bad extent, and the main temples there. But that was from a different island here in Numa. This capitan has been loyal to me and most honorable. I will fight to protect him, as is my duty. I have a debt to pay, which, I'll be honest, I was going to talk about this with you tomorrow, but you saved my life as well, and I only have so many life debts I can give. There's a little bit of conflict here.
I do not want your life debt.
It does not come with you. The wanting or the desiring, but the obligation. There is a debt to be paid, but
I saved you because I know what it is like to be burned in that manner. And then she goes really quiet and kind of ties off whatever it is that she's doing and finishes it and says, thank you for your time and telling me more about this woman. Mm-hmm. If you'd still like to go for coffee tomorrow, I would be happy for the company.
That would be great. I would be curious to know how you have been burned by fire falling from the sky before. So that's interesting. If you are, of course, willing to say.
She looks up at the sun and just... It's not as uncommon as you think. And then she walks a little uneasily, but with a little bit more balance since she's been on the ship for long enough time to kind of gauge back down the planks. But there is a quick, like, I'm going to go down the gangplank as fast as I possibly can without eating shit. Oh,
three steps on the plank, jump, okay, land right here. Okay, God. Thank God.
Yeah, okay. I'm on the dock. Okay. Woo! And she whistles for Epos, and Epos comes, and she heads home, I guess.
Okay, we see her clip-clop away, and I think that would put us up towards Briggs up the hill, as Electo and Epos ride off towards, I think, almost like the shooting range area? I'm not sure where you stay, but that's what I would picture.
It's like... I'd say like a quarter of a mile outside of the city. Okay. It's like an olive orchard.
Nice.
That she owns.
And Briggs, you were there with some of your crew and some of the Kingsguard and locals and the servants. Some are, you know, injured and getting tended to, some are helping. But as often happens for Briggs, you kind of fall in that leadership position, being the job boss.
Right. That's my job. I almost forgot. I look around what needs done.
So mostly it's just helping with, you know, they're trying to recover some items from the less burned rooms and just see if there's anything that can be recovered from the wreckage. There's more light now. And so the last bits of basically like compromised areas, they can see how fucked up that staircase is, how messed up this wall is, and like nowhere to not step to fall through or to have something collapse on them. And so you've got some people there with like long poles that are knocking parts off so they don't fall on someone's head, and others that are like testing the ground. This is all inside the manor. But yeah, you're helping out with the job crew. If there's anything there you wanted to focus on, otherwise we can just pan for you to go back to the ship, you know, in an hour or whatever it is.
Yeah, we'll probably just move forward there. I don't think there's anything else I wanted to do around here.
Okay. Arriving back at the ship, we see Andreas's ears are, you know, red from the Dugald shouting, and but the jobs are getting done and things are being cleaned up. That's usually the first order, is clean up the wreckage and the destruction. Surprisingly enough, all of your main masts are still okay.
Okay.
But some of the support arms, your rigging, your canvas, some of the deck boards and railings and whatnot are booked. And the main keel, of course, is all fine. That was all in the water and nothing really got there.
I want to start kind of getting some of the crew rotated out into some rest periods now, you know, and start making sure that's happening. We're kind of definitely past the emergency stage now, so we can start working on that a little bit and getting that kind of rotation back into a little bit more of a routine. A lot of work to be done, but do it in a little bit less urgent manner.
Sure. And as the both of you are there at the ship, captain setting up, you know, orders, and Briggs is, you know, kind of helping to say this and that, we see a carriage roll past the ship. And we see just the flicker and glimmer of a young female's face with a scarf wrapped around her neck that's rather puffy and almost more like a bandage than a scarf. And you both look up to happen to see Victoria rolling away in a carriage about 3 blocks from your pier. What do you do in this morning light?
How the fuck does she get the carriage?
That's what you're concerned about? The fact that she has a carriage?
That bitch has a Lexus? What? She's riding a Tesla?
Not the fact that she, I don't arrow could have been... Could, I don't know. I gotta go. Fuck.
Well, remember, Andreas was a little bit removed from most of it.
I know. You were.
I'm just saying, Andreas has become the man that says the wrong thing in the best way. Like, I'm just...
in the best way.
So funny. Like, that is your chief concern. The fact that she has a carriage.
Briggs isn't too eager to go for a chase because he's also kind of feeling bad.
Yeah, a little battered.
I will kind of go up the rigging a little bit and kind of see if I can spot where the carriage is heading.
Seems to be heading down the pier, just kind of across the docks. There are a few other boats, of course, moored up. Yours is the only one that's, you know, was on fire. Could be going to another number of ships, could be going somewhere else in town.
And Briggs is with me, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Raza's on the ship too, but he's in the background. Whatever.
Briggs is the stealthy sort. I'm going to say, Mr. Briggs, come with me. Let's go see what our friend is up to.
Friend, do you want to consider this person a friend?
I'd say that very, very loosely.
Come on. The captain.
And, so let's go see if we can kind of creep our way towards seeing where she's going, what she's up to.
Okay. So it's just you and the captain heading off to go see where this carriage is heading. This is the first time the two of you have been together during... since all the fires and everything have really blowed up, and you have a minute to try and catch up. The carriage, of course, moves much faster than you two, you're trying to be careful about it. You're not losing sight, but if there's anything you guys would like to chit-chat about on the way, feel free.
I think I'm just kind of focused really on where she is. I assume that you've been off, you know, just doing helping, and you've been part of probably with the crew, and, I haven't been paying attention to you, but I don't know that you've been gone much. So
if he doesn't say anything, I'm not gonna bring anything up, most likely.
Okay.
He'll probably just kind of focus up on what they're doing and staying stealthy.
Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna just kind of follow the carriage, you know, probably following behind, but trying to keep it in sight and try to follow it where it went.
Okay. The carriage heads and rolls up to the edge of a pier, and the doors open, and a couple people get out, but you do see Vittoria heading that way, up a plank onto a boat, and the boat is already pulling out. Seems to be it's not flying any sort of flag right now, this boat. It's not claiming any sort of allegiance to any country or anything like that. It doesn't have, you know. Okay. The style is a galleon, a smaller galleon that is common to see around Vodace. And the ship is pulling away, pulling out into the harbor. There seems to be a couple of tugs on the front moving it out.
Can I see a ship name?
That's a good question. Dang it.
Yeah. Players.
I have
what
to
you
come up
with
a name now. Shit.
You do see a name. What is that name? No, let me give me a second here.
Fantasy name generator. Go.
What is that name? How do you... Vodace spell?
Gilded Draken.
That's actually really good. I like that.
Gilded Dragon it is?
Draken.
Draken.
Oh, Draken.
Dracen. Yes. Draken.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Oh, even better.
So, as you look, you see that the name is the Gilded Draken. And it is pulling away. That name is on a nameplate on the back. And you can't quite see the front, except for you do see there is a figurehead that looks like some sort of curling dragon head. Maybe serpent, something. You can just see the back of it, as the ship is being pulled away from you. It's a larger ship. It's larger than your brig.
Okay, and it's obviously going downriver.
It's heading out. Yep.
Yeah. Sadly, I don't think we can catch him, Captain.
Towards the open sea. Okay.
It is definitely heading that northeast direction, heading up that river to Solon. It's probably the biggest possible ship to go down that river, so that's a thing.
Makes sense.
It won't be hard to miss if you need to, ask people along the way if they saw this freaking ship.
True. Okay.
Might be good to keep in mind that they may be waiting for us if we try to leave, but that might not be for some time.
Good. I would hope she would make herself easy to find. Let's head back to the ship.
You guys head back towards the ship?
So,
what are you wanting to do?
Well, I'll be grumbling a lot about annoying women, basically.
It's just, I imagine you tying ropes, just extra aggression.
Oh, yeah.
Picking up barrels and slamming them down extra hard and kicking shit that doesn't really need that much aggression.
That's exactly what's going on. Absolutely, yes.
Grumbling the whole time. It's like stupid women and their stupid, dumb. God.
Yes, that sums it up really well. Yeah.
At that point, as Briggs is kind of doing stuff, he'll notice the captain and how he's acting and kind of notice the crew around that kind of seems to start getting agitated. Because of the captain's agitated.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll kind of look around at everybody and go, all right. Crew me in! As the rest of the crew around the top deck kind of turn.
Yeah.
Notice. I want everyone up here in, a minute? I don't want to see anyone down below. No one. Everyone up. As people start to get going, Briggs will go back down under deck, back to his cabin.
Okay.
And retrieve something and return back up to the deck.
Okay.
A few minutes go by and you see everybody on deck is just kind of mumbling to each other going, what the hell's going on?
Is this something you would want Andreas around for?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. He's standing there looking at you strangely, and
he doesn't say much of anything. And he just goes down, comes back up. You hear his footsteps on the wood coming up from below deck, and you see he's holding a very fancy looking. Like mini chest. It's gilded in gold on the top, and you see various facets here and there.
And there's a hush across the crew, all eyes on you, because damn, that looks fancy.
Yeah, Briggs walks through the crowd, footsteps, and he'll just he'll put it on kind of near. I don't know. There's something I can put this down on the deck there. Mm-hmm. And he'll plop it down in front of the captain. All right, Cap, you seem a bit agitated. Everybody seems a bit agitated. Calm the fuck down, everyone. It was a bad day.
Right. Calm down.
Andreas crosses his arms and just kind of raises an eyebrow expectantly. Doesn't say anything.
I have a gift. As he kind of grins a little bit and gestures to the.
There's anticipation, and as the crew looks around between each other, to see who's gonna step forward first.
Okay. Andreas looks at Briggs, looks at the chest, looks at Briggs, looks at the chest.
Kind of gesture, maybe give him an elbow.
He'll finally step forward and flip the latches and lift the lid.
It is filled with many a guilder. Specifically, the gold coins that are becoming more and more common across the world that come from Vestin. And by filled, I mean like 10 wealth filled.
Andreas's eyes grow wide, and he looks at Briggs. This is yours?
I mean, I said it was a gift, so technically it's ours.
Where did this come from?
Don't ask questions, it's fine.
I see.
Truly don't want to know.
I can live with that. Okay. Let's get this to work. We're going to need new sails, new running rigging. We're going to need lumber. We'll have to see if we can get some to assist the king as well.
There's murmurs and grumbles because people have been working all night and are feeling tired. And but the people are writing things down and, you know, kind of coordinating in their work groups that they were in before to try and think about where they can go to get the stuff. But you can tell there's a bit of an unrest since you're talking about using all of this lovely gold for boring things.
Yes.
Captain?
Yes.
Would you mind, like, setting a bit aside for the crew? They've been doing a lot recently.
They have been doing a lot.
I mean, I'm just doing my job as quartermaster. You know,
we just need to make sure that the bars are repaired enough for the crew to enjoy their time there, of course. But yes, please do put together some for the crew and a good, healthy, recreational time for them.
Serena around, where's she? She usually deals with the funds. Serena.
Yeah. Yes.
We see a young lady with dark black hair and a tan skin. Stepping forward, she has a writing board she's holding, and she's scratching away with a piece of charcoal. And she looks up at you and nods.
There's that clipboard. I believe the captain has made decisions on some of where the funds might go. I think he just wants to deal with that sooner than later.
Okay, I can do that. Sure. And she starts to look at it and kind of, you know, flips some stuff around and is, you know, moving some coins back and forth and scratching on her paper. And as she's working, you can kind of hear her humming a little tune that's we would know in modern times as being a very minor key sort of a thing, but almost has that sound like a reed pipe playing. As she's just humming to herself this little ditty that's, you know, repeats pretty simply. Logan's not a good hummer, so we're not going to do that.
I'll put something in post.
Yes, I will pat Briggs on the shoulder and say, good work, Mr. Briggs. Thank you. This is finally a bit of good news in a day of less than good news.
Well, if you buy me a drink later, maybe I'll tell you the story.
You have a deal. Make sure the crew gets some rest rotation in.
Right, we got it. I know how to do my job, Cap.
All right. And I will probably, Andreas will probably head to his quarters to finally get some rest. And...
Sure. As you head into your quarters, you open the door and coiled up and raising its head up, we see a king viper raising its head from the middle of your bed and making that hissing sound that snakes do, looking you directly in the eyes, though still 10 feet away from you. And that's where we're going to leave it for now.
Fucking what? There's a snake in my bed.
And that's where we leave it. That's great.
Okay.
That's where we leave it. That's great. I'm fine.
Oh, could I do just a little tiny
thing? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Toe, you go.
As we're transitioning from that, I feel like the door to the captain's quarters open and we saw the snake, and then it kind of cuts over as if we're looking from the opposite end and we're looking from the snake's point of view at a different door. And then that door opens and Alecto walks in. And it's this, you know, not ramshackle, but very modest house, little hut kind of thing. And she walks in and takes off all of her her cloak and the hood and the cape and the sleeves and all that shit. And in the sunlight that's coming through the windows that are shuttered, we can see these nasty fucking burn marks. Like, these are sunburns times 100. They look like lightning scars all over her hands, her arms, all over the front of her chest as she, you know, breaks herself down to basically like a tank top sort of deal with matching pantaloons. She walks over to a basin of water where there's a mirror in front of it and kind of just does that thing where her hands are around the side of the basin and her head is down and she's looking up at the mirror, and we just get a glimpse of that reptilian face that we could kind of see when we had that little sting cut with Vittoria, just a briefest little glimpse of it as she looks up at herself in the mirror, and then she starts and grabs water and shoves it in her face and hisses as if it burned her. And then we kind of cut away from that.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
God damn it, both of you. God damn it, both of you. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Whew.
Man, that PTSD, though, huh?
It's really something, man.
Women.
Logan, do you have...
The fucking women. Oh, my God. Snakes. A lot of them.
Oh, why did it have to be snakes?
Why did
it have to be...
Logan, do you have more after this?
You better.
I mean, yeah.
Don't leave me there.
Yeah, I actually have a couple other beats I want to hit, but you'll have to come back next time, y'all. Because, yeah,
damn
there is more to this story. We're just getting started.
Awesome.
Just getting started. Wait, how long are we going to be here?
Wait, what?
I mean, I'm willing to be here. I'm willing to be here for as long as it'll take to get there. But I might need to call some people and...
Well, we'll just have to see what decisions you make down the road.
Damn
what
it,
deals you make and who you make happy and who
oh,
you don't.
Oh, boy. Ah, man, the phrasing. Phrasing? Oh.
Phrasing?
Phrasing. I love this. This is great.
Man, guys. Next okay.
Time. Ah, fuck.
God damn it.
Get you next time, Gadget. Oh, God.
All right, guys, that's enough for this one. We'll pick it up on the next episode there, and like always, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, me too. I'll see you next time.
Yeah, me too.
Bye.
If you all made it to the end of the episode, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done it yet, go and like our Facebook page. We post updates for every new episode and some bonus stuff in between. And most importantly, if you liked this, be sure to share it with somebody you know. We'll see you next time.